Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about the American Red Cross Rappahannock chapter this morning, and especially the need for blood these days, but also what is happening locally with the local Red Cross. Executive Director Tricia Wolfrey is here this morning. Tricia, it's good to have you back in studio. It's been a few years. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you, Ted. And thank you so much for allowing this opportunity to share the message about the need for blood right now. The summertime is traditionally a slow time for blood donations. And since April, our blood supply is down 25%. So, you know, that can really pose some risks.
Whew, boy, it can. And when you think about it, because it's never where you want it to be, down 25% is a lot.
It is a lot. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that blood definitely has a shelf life. It cannot just stay on the shelves forever. In most instances, you know, a regular red blood cell donation will only last 2 weeks. So you think about that limited shelf life along with the decrease in donations, it really gets dangerous. Hospitals, physicians, especially emergency departments, have to start prioritizing the blood that is available. And that, you know, down the road impacts people who are trying to schedule for surgeries, mothers who are delivering babies, blood transfusions for cancer patients. So it really can pose some dire health risks.
Boy, to have to think about having to do that kind of thing is scary at all levels. You hate that a doctor has to, in a hospital would have to consider that, but just the fact that if it were needed and you might not be able to have it.
Absolutely. Now, we have been able to share, you know, there is the network for various hospitals and various Red Cross blood labs that we can transport blood around, but having to wait can also pose risks. So we really are trying to get the word out. And again, thank you for this platform, but trying to get the word out and let people know how desperately we do need blood and how important it is to the health of the community.
Well, and it's so easy. It has gotten so easy to give and to even find places. If you go to redcrossblood.org and type in where you live, there are so many blood drives around this area.
We try to spread them out and have convenient times because we understand people are busy and working, and especially this time of year. People are on vacation, they're going to sporting events, they're all over the place, and we know that people are busy. But like you said, going to redcrossblood.org, typing in your zip code, you can find blood drives virtually 7 days a week, and you know, some in the evenings, some in the mornings, depending on what people prefer. You can pretty much find whatever meets your availability.
It'll find nearby, wherever you work or wherever you live. It is just easy to. You've made it very easy to give blood.
Right. I was working in another state for a few weeks after a natural disaster, and there was a blood drive down from where I was stationed, and I gave blood because I wanted to get that Looney Tunes t-shirt.
That is a great looking t-shirt.
Thank you. Oh, no, I take that back. I'm wearing the Looney Tunes t-shirt. I wish your viewers could see it. It is awesome.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is an awesome t-shirt. But this was the Snoopy t-shirt.
Oh,
Do you remember that from a few years ago?
Yeah.
That went viral, and we had a great increase in blood donations. And we hope people can keep that excitement. We can't give away awesome t-shirts every day of the week, but we try to do that just to promote it and help recruit new blood donors as well, just because of the excitement of that giveaway. But we do appreciate our blood donors. We do not pay for blood, but we like to give some incentive to get people out and rolling up their sleeves.
What is it, every 56 days?
Every 56 days, you can give red blood donations. For those who are able to do a plasma or platelet donation. That can be every 14 days. But here in our area, because we rely on mobile blood drives, we do not have the equipment to do those types of draws. So we do red blood cells. And it's depending on how quickly your blood flows, it can be anywhere from 40 to 60 minutes mm-hmm. to do it from going in the door to getting back in your car. It really is a quick and easy process.
And if you do it with someone else, you can make a game out of it.
Absolutely.
When I used to give blood, I went with a friend and we would try to race. Days ahead of time, I would start drinking water because I would be notoriously slow.
Yes.
But if you drank enough water ahead of time, it sometimes can help.
That is something to be aware of, making sure that you're hydrated. You should stay hydrated every day.
Right.
But especially if you know you're going to be giving blood starting the day before and being particularly conscientious of how you intake your water intake and then just healthy foods. I sometimes have issues with low iron. So when I go in, if my iron level is low, for my safety, mm-hmm. they won't draw the blood.
Right.
And, you know, that it hurts my feelings when I get rejected.
Right.
But so I'm more conscientious of how I eat and how I take care of myself. Should be doing that every day of the week. But particularly when I know I'm going in to give blood.
You have come with you have brought water with you.
So you are
remaining hydrated during this hour.
I really try to make sure that I'm getting that proper intake of water.
Well, if you have hydrated, it does make it
yes.
a little bit easier.
Yes, it does help the blood flow a little bit easier and help the veins be a little easier to grab when they're doing the stick. But it is, like I said, it's a great opportunity. It's just a great feeling. And we encourage people to sign up for the Red Cross Blood Donor app. It's a simple app. It's free. You download it onto your phone, and you can sign up there. You can follow your blood, Ted. So it's called Your Journey on the app, and you can see where your blood goes, what hospital it's being used in. And that's really an amazing thing to follow.
Oh, I think that would be really great to know whether it's helping out someone locally or whether it's I've heard from people who've talked about where it's gone all over the state, all over the East Coast.
Right. And depending on what your blood type may be, you know, for those who have O blood types that are universal, they could be scattered all over, like you said, all over the East Coast. Some stay more locally. It just depends on where the need may be, because blood is transferred from one lab to another based on that demand.
We'll take a quick break and continue this conversation. Good stuff with Tricia Wolfery with the American Red Cross Rappahannock Chapter, redcrossblood.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking American Red Cross this morning with Tricia Wolfery, the executive director of the Rappahannock Chapter. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll get into it, too, as we go along this morning. All the great things that the Rappahannock Chapter is doing. You would be surprised at all the kinds of things. We're talking about the need for blood. And again, Tricia, it is just so important to look for a blood drive. And if you have never given before, consider that. Because in my case, I'd never looked. I just didn't want to take a chance that I would get queasy or something.
Right,
so I never looked, and it never was a problem.
Right. And collecting blood, the technology has improved so much now.
Yeah.
Do you remember the finger stick?
That was the worst part.
That was the worst part. They don't do that anymore.
They don't.
The finger stick was to check your iron level before the donation, but now they have just this, it looks like a ring that goes around your thumb and can check without ever making a puncture. So, because my finger would be more sore than where they actually drew the blood from.
Yeah.
And
I would just hate it, just waiting for them.
That
to do that.
Yeah, that simplifies everything and speeds up the process as well. And then our phlebotomists, the skilled and licensed individuals mm-hmm. who collect the blood, you know, they do this every day of the week, so they're good at it.
Yeah, I rarely felt.
Yeah.
Anytime
yeah.
you would, if you, when the office, you know, they'd say, okay, we're
done.
Going.
We're going, and you were in.
And it would be like, I didn't even know you did that because
yeah.
I wasn't looking.
So, and they're constantly checking on you to make sure that you are comfortable. Mm-hmm. And we have volunteers who work the blood drives who are there to make sure you have snacks and plenty of water and just showing some love because we just so much appreciate the people that give their time. And if you let them know that it's your first time, they're going to be especially attentive to you. So try it. You know, that I just consider one blood donation can save up to 3 lives. You're saving a life with something that your body produces naturally. That blood supply is going to be replenished.
Yeah.
So you'll feel fine afterwards. You know, again, drink your water, stay hydrated before and after the donation, and you're going to be perfectly fine. And this is a way to save a life. So if you just keep that in mind and take an hour of your time, it's so rewarding. I just can't express enough how good it feels to know how that simple act of kindness can save someone's lives. And if you think about it or talk to friends or neighbors, you have either been impacted or know someone within your close circle of friends and family who has been impacted by the donation of blood, whether it's been an accident victim, a birthing mother, a cancer patient, someone on kidney dialysis that needs that boost of red blood cells into their body. So it really is impactful.
The event that got me involved years ago in giving blood was my son having leukemia. And to see him and to hear my wife talk about how he just lay there and was just had no energy and just white, and
yeah.
all of a sudden he got the blood, and you could see that his everything picked up. And she always tells the story about how she watched that happen and just said to herself, was so thankful that someone had given blood that could occur.
That's an amazing story, Ted, and thank you for sharing that. But we hear that all the time. I try to wear my Red Cross blood T-shirts or hats or whatever into the community. And, you know, someone in the grocery store will come up to me and tell their story, share their story of how much they appreciate it because someone in their family was either saved or impacted because of the simple donation of a kind stranger giving blood.
And it goes back to what we started off with, Tricia, that you never know when you're going to need, when
exactly.
the blood is going to be needed.
Exactly. Car accidents, an illness,
yeah.
sudden illness. It's so many things. A dear friend of mine who had a baby, she had to have 9 units of blood because of hemorrhaging after birth.
Yeah.
And, you know, a new mother could have lost her life had it not been for the generosity of individuals giving blood.
Mm. And so few of us give. That's the other thing. Isn't it something like 3% of the population?
3% of the population. So imagine, you know, I talk about how the blood supply is down. Imagine if that 3% grew to 4%.
Right.
It would make up the difference in that loss of the blood supply. It's just taking that time, making that effort to go out there that first time. And once you do it, you'll be hooked.
Oh, it is, because you do. You feel so good that you know you're
yeah.
helping someone, and especially now that you can follow, if you can follow where your blood is, where it goes, and it really makes it come alive.
It really does. It really is an adrenaline rush almost.
Yeah,
you know, if you will, when you give and you just consider what you have just done and how you've impacted someone's life, or the life of a child. It's just. It is so far-reaching. I just can't express that feeling that you get.
And this time of year, I know, is always difficult because people are on vacations.
Right.
They're on different schedules. in the winter, you run into weather can impact blood drives. So, and like you said, the blood is only good for a couple of weeks. So you have to have people continuing
to give. It has to be a 365 day a year to keep that supply consistent. And we also have really good luck in our community with high schools and the University of Mary Washington conducting blood drives. So in the summer, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So, considering UMW does a monthly drive and they have about 80 individuals who come out and give blood, those are gone for the summer. So there are a lot of different things that impact that decline during the summer months. So we really encourage people, especially those who've never given before, to come out and give it a try. It's a great feeling.
And when your kids get old enough, have them start doing it, because you worry sometimes that giving blood is something that older people have been doing, and they need to be replaced.
Exactly. And that's why we work with local high schools.
Yeah.
Now, we went through that period during COVID where we had to stop that.
Yeah.
But now that we're doing it again, hook them while they're young. And typically someone who starts giving when they're younger becomes a lifelong blood donor.
Right. Yeah. Do they still give pins?
You do. You get pins for, like the 5 gallon, the 10 gallon, and so forth. So, yes, you get pins for the amount of blood you've given and some extra special attention and recognition.
You mentioned about how you don't get the you don't get your finger pricked anymore. I guess, too, a lot of you used to have to sit through a long list of questions that a lot of that you can do online, or you don't have to. Someone doesn't sit there and ask you all these questions.
There is a questionnaire. And again, we're keeping the blood supply safe.
Right.
And we're keeping you safe by asking questions such as, illnesses, travel, medications. And you can do that either online, on the app, or you can do it in person when you get there. It just speeds up the process if you've done that ahead of time.
The app is something good to have, because you can do everything on your phone.
Right. I wish I could show your listeners over the airwaves how simple it is and how informative it is. It also tracks your blood pressure, because they take your blood pressure. It shows you your health, the measurements that they take. It gives you your blood type. It shows a lot. And twice a year, we have started doing A1C testing along with the blood. So that, I'm not sure what month will be the next, but we do that two times a year, trying to catch everyone and identify people who may have some blood sugar issues. And, that's an extra test that we add on to, when testing the blood. And we have found some people, we can't give medical advice, but we encourage you to contact your physician if you've been flagged to having an issue.
Yeah, if your number's high, then it's a mini physical in a way, because you are checking those kinds of things.
Sure, it's a blood test.
Yeah,
for sure. And some of the myths out there, I hear a lot. Oh, I lived in England back in such and such, because there were some issues
and
you lived overseas.
That's changed.
That has changed because of the advanced technologies in testing the blood. So there are a lot of reasons why people couldn't give blood in the past that now have been overcome because of the advanced technologies in testing.
So that's a great reminder that if in the past you haven't been able to give, go to redcrossblood.org and see, because there are changes every now and then that happen.
And if you want to ask questions, you can dial 1-800-RED-CROSS and go through the prompts to the blood selection and ask your questions.
Again, there's just such a need. I was telling you that I noticed yesterday, and you can see it on our Facebook page, the State Office of Emergency Management had a Red Cross a Red Cross story about just the need for blood on their website.
Yes.
So you see it all around, and you hear about it, and you never know when you're going to be helping someone in your family or a neighbor or someone in your church.
The need is nationwide. Yeah. Not just here. And also the shortage is exacerbated by storms, by floods. You know, we've had a lot of flooding down in Texas, which is, you know, when the power is out or the people can't access the blood drives, they're canceled. So a lot of various reasons why we need to encourage folks who can get out and give to please do so.
And again, if you've never done it, it only takes you about an hour. Right. And go with some people at work or go with some friends or family. And you said it well, that once you do it, you'll be hooked.
You will be. It's hard to describe if you've never done it, but once you've rolled up your sleeve, you want to just keep, you're waiting for that 56 days to hit so you can get back in there.
And there are so many blood drives. There will be a blood drive that fits a day when you've got a break, you know, either in the morning, middle of the day, or in the afternoon. You'll find there are so many blood drives available in this area. That's one of the things that when I have directed people, go to redcrossblood.org and look, they'll come back and just say, I didn't know there were so many choices.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a big need. Redcrossblood.org. We'll get the ball rolling.
Yes.
Tricia Wolfrey here, the Executive Director of the American Red Cross Rappahannock Chapter. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the things that the American Red Cross locally does. They are many, and we'll talk about that next on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now almost 8:29.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking American Red Cross this morning, Rappahannock Chapter, with Tricia Wolfrey, the Executive Director. We've spent, just because it's such a big issue, the need for blood, Tricia, is one of your big things. But the local chapter, you always see, anytime there's a house fire, there's generally the fire department, if you're involved, will say the Red Cross is helping the family. You're involved with a lot of things, a lot of disasters locally.
Yes. Yeah. And we are so thankful for our partnerships with local fire departments and emergency management. When a house fire is in process, and if it's anticipated that it will be uninhabitable, then the dispatch from the fire department contacts our Red Cross dispatch. And volunteers are sent out to the site to assist the families with emergency financial assistance, resources, and then follow-up casework with those individuals to make sure that they're getting the resources that they need. And it really is an amazing thing, because when we think about disasters, a lot of people think about the Red Cross emergency vehicles rolling in and, you know, a large-scale operation. But here in our local communities, the number one disaster is home fires. And, you know, we work with local organizations in preparedness training and what to do and try to help mitigate that, because we try to help people prepare before and prevent, but things happen. So how, you know, we're able to assist, and we could not do that without the power of our volunteers and the generosity of donors who make those funds available. But yes, volunteers, something I don't know if you're aware, and maybe your listeners, 94% of our workforce is volunteer based.
I did not know that.
I am so humbled to be a part of that and to see how dedicated our volunteers are, the amount of training they go through, the amount of hours they're willing to put in. And the volunteer opportunities are vast. The emergency response is just one of those.
Well, when you talked about when there's a fire and the fire department will contact the Red Cross, some of those people would be responding in the middle of the night or all kinds of different times and be willing to drop things and to go and take care of people in just in an awful situation.
Yes. And if you ever have been at the scene of a home fire, just the smell never leaves your memory.
I bet.
And you're working with individuals at one of the worst moments of their lives. And just being able to provide not just the financial assistance, but the emotional support. Mm. We also have disaster mental health volunteers who work with those fire victims just in overcoming the trauma of it. It is just unbelievable what people go through. And they're standing there. You mentioned middle of the night. It seems so many times home fires, especially the ones that get to that level, yeah, happen in the middle of the night. And they're in their pajamas. They've run out of their home. You know, I'm looking at you, and I'm revealing to my listeners, I wear glasses. So if your house is on fire and you're running out of the house, you may run out without your glasses or medications. And just being able to get assistance in replacing those items, you know, the Red Cross is just so happy to be there to provide that support.
I never even thought of that. You're right. And especially you're not going to have a lot of things, and to see everything that you have, just the emotions that you have to have.
The emotions and just where do you begin to replace all of the things you've lost? You think about the structure and the furniture and those big items, but what really is so difficult to replace, like I said, the little things, the medical devices, the medications, your driver's license, your birth
driver's
certificate.
License.
That it's cumbersome to have to, and very time consuming. And where do you go to do that? So we hope that we are providing support just in the resources of this is, you know, a checklist, if you will, to contact the DMV, to contact the health department for your birth certificate, and just where you need to go to replace those items. And emergency assistance in medications. What if you just had your prescription filled 3 days prior to the fire?
Right.
You know, the pharmacy is going to say, well, you're not eligible for a refill for 27 more days. So being able to provide assistance to work through those barriers.
Boy, just to be in that situation, too, takes a special person and some training to just be able to just be able to deal with that situation at that moment.
We provide all of the training, and we never send anyone out unprepared. We go in teams, so there's at least two individuals. So we pair new volunteers with seasoned volunteers so they get the feel and develop that rhythm, if you will, to feel comfortable before they're tasked with anything. And again, you would never be sent alone.
It's a good reminder, too, to have a safe, have a fireproof safe, or have some things and make sure some of these really important documents are preserved somewhere, whether it's a safe or a safety deposit box, something like that.
Or and we have, again, if redcross.org, just taking out the blood part and going to redcross.org, there's a wealth of information, checklists of what to do and how to prepare. As I mentioned before, we send our preparedness trainers out to local organizations, church groups, schools. You know, we're willing to come in for anyone who will send us the invitation to talk about the importance of preparedness, not just for home fires, but we're getting into hurricane season. And while we don't get that initial, the storm surge that you would get on the coast, we have a lot of power outages.
Yep.
Gosh, the wind could puff and sometimes the power goes out. So, you know, what to do in case of those emergencies, floods. Again, there's just a lot of information. You can look for checklists on how to be prepared and know what to do in times of emergency.
And we have had some situations where, like you say, we're not getting hit head on, but we do get some of the residual.
Absolutely.
Wind and rain can cause a lot of problems.
Yes. I mean, you don't have to live on the coast to experience a flood, especially a flash flood. And that's why we love getting called into schools and working with younger children on what to do so they feel prepared and they can practice. And if we go in and talk with an elementary group, we give the students homework for mm-hmm. their grown-ups so they can go yeah. home and they get to teach the class with their grown-ups in how to prepare.
I can remember, this goes back a few years. This was a few years ago, but there was the concern that a hurricane was going to hit Hampton Roads and that people would come up into this area.
Yes.
And I remember in churches and large yes. organizations made buildings available and you had them staffed and it, yes. it was a big, it turned out it didn't thankfully amount to a lot, but it's those kinds of things too. You look ahead and you prepare.
And that's another example of the power of our volunteers mm. because we train individuals for that disaster preparedness. We exercise. We work with local, like as you mentioned, churches, schools, civic organizations, anyone who has a building large enough and meets the criteria. And we exercise with them on what to do in case of an evacuation. It may be local residents coming into the shelter. It may be folks coming from Hampton Roads or out of town, but practice makes perfect. You know, you wouldn't yeah. go on the soccer field and expect to be, you know, playing like Messi. You need to practice. You need to exercise and make sure that you get it right.
You must be somebody who's watching the World Cup.
I watch the news a lot. I'm not, other than my kids playing soccer, that's about the limit of it. But I do remember a few names from, you know, just that awesome experience of having the FIFA here. It's been great to follow.
Oh, it has been. Yeah, definitely. Now, going back to the, because I can remember there was even thought that people from North Carolina were going to come up in
yes.
here. So you really did a lot of preparation. You have mentioned just in the last few minutes several times about volunteers. So how do I volunteer? How does that all work?
Your listeners are going to be tired of citing that website, but redcross.org,
okay.
there is, in the menu, there is a selection for volunteer, and you fill out an application, and that goes to our volunteer recruitment team, and they walk you through the next steps. It's fairly simple, and we provide all of the training free of charge, and most of it is online, so you do it at your convenience when it works for you, and you get to select the areas where you would want to volunteer and when you want to volunteer.
Hmm.
And it's for those fire response team members, there is a schedule where you are on call. But for our other disaster responders, it's an as needed. And we just encourage people to participate with our exercises and our drills so that they're able to practice what they're learning.
Well, and I'm sure especially for the folks that volunteer and help with the fires, that there's just a need for that because you never know when and where it's going to happen. But boy, to have the Red Cross there and to have a local chapter like ours,
our volunteers are amazing. Now, I'm a little bit partial, I'll have to say, but I think our Rappahannock chapter volunteers
are
among the best. And depending on your willingness and your availability, you can deploy to other areas where natural disasters are happening, such as hurricanes in Florida, wildfires in California, wherever the need may be. We recently had one of our local volunteers deploy to Saipan after the typhoons that hit out that way. So it's really what you desire to do. Those deployments, you're gone for 2 to 3 weeks, but you know the emergencies here in the chapter are, you know, maybe a couple of days.
Have you gone on some of these deployments?
And I have.
That's got to change. That's just got to be just because you go. You're really going into an area.
You are immersed.
Yeah.
I went down on what's called the initial wave of volunteers that were sent in response to Hurricane Ian in Western Florida
yeah.
a couple of years ago. And it was such an eye-opener to the devastation. Along Edisto Island, there was just, it was like a bulldozer had gone through. Everything was gone. And people were going in to collect anything they could find of their belongings. And we were doing mobile feeding. So riding around in a Red Cross vehicle, handing out food to people as they dug through the rubble of their homes.
Oh, that's just, it's whenever you see that, that's just heartbreaking.
It is. It is. And I, one of the things that will stick in my memory, and I have a red flower pot on my deck now. I went out searching for a red one. There was a woman who was walking up the street toward us, and she had a red flower pot in her hands, in her arms. And she said, "This is the only thing that I could find that I knew was mine." And I just boohooed, Ted. I was in tears, she was in tears, and we just stood there and hugged for the longest time.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what people need. It's not necessarily the meal, which was greatly appreciated, mm-hmm. but it was just an ear and someone to listen during one of the worst times of their lives.
I was just going to say that sometimes what they need is that volunteer, and that's why
you
volunteering and being able to do, whether it's locally or whether you're able to go sometime on one of those longer trips.
And pointing them to resources and Red Cross working with local partners, a convener, if you will, of organizations that can provide assistance. Because just like I mentioned earlier with the home fires, you have to replace everything. Where do you even start? So, you know, Red Cross sets up service centers where people can go. And we coordinate with local government agencies to try to have representatives there. So it's a one-stop shop, if you will, that they can go from table to table and start the process to replace their driver's license, to replace their important documents like birth certificates, marriage license, those sorts of things. And we do, in part of our training, we encourage people, like you said earlier, having that safe, putting your important paperwork in a Ziploc bag, pardon me for mentioning a brand name, a zipper bag, so that it's waterproof. It's being protected.
Yeah.
And if you know that a storm is coming, get your gear together. Be prepared. Have a checklist. Can find that on our website of what to throw in your go bag. So when it's time to evacuate, you're taking those documents with you. You're taking your medications with you. You have what you need to survive, we say, for 72 hours to be prepared.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned about just the fires and the smell. And knowing people that I've known people with that have been volunteers and have gone to some of these places with the Red Cross. Whenever you see us, we see it so often in stories, it's just a simple sentence, "The Red Cross is assisting." It's only a few words in that sentence, but boy, it means it's just vital for that family to be able to start putting some things back together.
Yes, we work to provide emergency assistance in times of disaster. And again, we could not do that without the power and generosity of our volunteers and financial donors, because we're not government funded. We rely 100% on donations from the generosity of individuals and businesses.
So hop on redcross.org. And do you put like Rappahannock chapter or your zip code or something like that?
Yes. If you want to give locally or want to volunteer locally, it's queued off of your zip code so that it knows it falls into the footprint of the Rappahannock chapter. And we are Fredericksburg, the surrounding counties, all of Northern Neck, and most of the Middle Peninsula. So lots of opportunities within the geographic footprint of the Rappahannock chapter. If you don't live in that area, then, you know, volunteer for your local chapter. The Red Cross is all over the country and 140 other countries across the world.
Boy, you cover a wide area, though.
Yes.
I did not realize that you were quite as large as you are. And if people want to give financially to the Red Cross,
yes,
and in the local effort, I think that's important.
When people donate, especially donating online, you have that option of where it's needed most in my local community.
Yeah.
Or if you specifically want to donate to disaster, there's that option as well. Or blood. I mean, there's a lot of options that we just encourage people to check that out online.
Redcross.org for more information. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Tricia Wolfrey and talk again about the need for blood and getting involved with the Red Cross. Redcross.org or redcrossblood.org to find out where there are blood drives going on. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Tricia Wolfrey in this morning with the executive director with the American Red Cross Rappahannock chapter. You've been with the Red Cross for now how many years?
It's going on 5 years now.
Okay. So you do have, you've seen your fair share of, unfortunately, needs.
And
whether it's been blood needs or disasters. Yeah, when we were talking about needing blood, and you just think of situations on 95. We're in a spot when you don't know when there's going to be a huge accident.
Absolutely. And we've seen that, you know,
with
the recent bus accident. And, you know, I remember years ago during an ice storm, there was a huge accident pileup.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were being evacuated to area hospitals. And, you know, just think of how much blood was used during that. And timed with an ice storm where blood drives are being canceled. So again, making sure we're keeping those that blood continuously flowing in.
And we don't know, as far as the weather goes, even if our area were to escape a bad hurricane season, there might be needs for South Carolina, North Carolina, anywhere along the Mid-Atlantic.
We have mostly volunteers that transport that blood. We have drivers that will transport blood from one area to another in times of need. Should there be a hurricane in North Carolina, I'm not wishing anything. I'm just picking a place.
Yeah.
And we could easily transport blood from this area to that area because their drives will be canceled during that time. So we want to make sure that everywhere is fully stocked and available.
Every 56 days, you can give blood.
Yes.
And again, if you've never done it, it is so easy. Or if you've thought, you know, like you mentioned earlier, I lived in London years ago and I can't give. A lot of that has changed.
So you ought to
look into that.
Yes, yes. Please do, because there so many of those restrictions have been lifted, and you can find out that information either online or by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS.
And again, there's such need for volunteers, whether it's to help out with the blood drives, whether it's to help out with disasters and local fires, all kinds of things the Rappahannock chapter of the Red Cross does. And I really thought you were just Fredericksburg area based, but you are much wider than that.
Yes, it's the city of Fredericksburg and 14 surrounding counties.
Whew, there's a need there. Even if you decide, a lot of times you can just, if you see it the day of, if you get up some morning and feel like, I want to give blood today.
Yeah. We do encourage everyone to make an appointment.
It does,
because then that helps. You don't have to wait, and it may be a drive that is at capacity, and we wouldn't want to turn anyone away and make that a negative experience. Mm-hmm. But I have given in a similar situation. I just go on my app and put in the date and go to the next one that's available. It might be 10 minutes, you know, a few miles down the road. So we just encourage you to get your name on there and know that there is availability that you can be accommodated. We don't want you to show up for your first time and be turned away because they can't take you. So please pre-register and either online or with the app.
And the breaking news today was that they don't prick your finger anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is fairly recent.
Yeah.
And, you know, that technology, like I said, it's like this little electronic ring that goes around your thumb.
Wow.
That can measure your hemoglobin. I don't know how that works, Ted, but it works.
Now, if they could only eliminate the air puff when you go get your eyes tested, life would be perfect.
Now, I could go on about what my eye doctor does, but that's another story. You might want to invite someone from them.
Okay. I didn't know that.
You can avoid the puff.
Okay. RedCrossBlood.org or RedCross.org for information. Tricia Wolfrey, the executive director of the American Red Cross Rappahannock chapter. Tricia, it's great to reconnect. We'll do this again real soon.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful opportunity, and I so appreciate your advocacy. Thank you, Ted.
We'll talk soon. Tricia Wolfrey with the American Red Cross, redcrossblood.org or redcross.org. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.